Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Shaking things up at the NLRB, and I mean shaking them up. An agenda for worker safety and health. And today on the show, the latest from the Ohio AFL-CIO and the IBEW in Georgia. Good afternoon and welcome to the Tuesday, February 2nd edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on various platforms. You know that. Let's see. We've got Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and most recently, Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and eventually give us a rating. We'd appreciate a 5-star rating. Two guests on the show today. This is one of our regular segments with Tim Berga. Tim, president of the Ohio AFL-CIO for more than a decade now. He is going to talk about Biden's executive orders and the PRO Act. And once we get past this COVID-19 relief stimulus bill, I'm sure we'll touch on that as well. Labor is all geared up. They got the votes in the House. Whether or not they got the votes in the Senate, we'll find out. But there's going to be some progress. And this is going to change labor law in America, something that has not been changed since FDR. When you think about that. Back in the 1930s. We're also going to talk about the Workers First agenda. And we briefly touched on this some weeks back. Rich Trumka announced this plan. And it essentially contains five components. Worker empowerment, because stronger unions are essential to addressing the multiple crises facing America. We will urge the new administration to have a plan ready on day one to enact the PRO Act. Number two, worker safety in the pandemic. The most immediate focus this year, bringing COVID-19 pandemic under control, starting by guaranteeing access for all workers to free vaccines and rapid testing, issuing emergency COVID-19 standards from the Occupational Safety and Health Administration and the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Now, some of that's happened already through executive order. Number three, good jobs and public investment. The first order of legislative business will be the COVID-19 bill. And that's being debated right now. The Republicans, as usual, trying to water it down. Biden wants $1.9 trillion. And the Republicans, they met yesterday, they're looking between $600 and $700 billion. Racial justice and democracy. We know what's been going on. And the divide in America. And lastly, economic security. We in the AFL-CIO will urge Congress and the new administration to address America's continuing economic security crisis by, number one, providing pension funding relief, then increasing Social Security benefits across the board, reducing prescription drug prices, lowering the Medicare eligibility age to 50. Whoa, that would really change a lot in America. Creating a public option, strengthening the Affordable Care Act. Biden is definitely all about that. Made in America, we'll talk about that as well. So Tim's our first guest. Our second guest is Kenny Mullins. And Kenny is the business manager of IBEW Local 613 in Atlanta, Georgia, just outside Atlanta, Georgia. He's been the business manager since 2017. He's also an executive vice president of the AFL-CIO in Georgia, been in the business for a quarter of a century. So he's seen a lot of changes in Georgia, and I'm sure he was part of making Georgia blue. We'll touch on that. Most importantly, though, we're going to talk about electrical workers' jobs in that area, how they're trying to grow market share and the impact they are making. Job safety, so important. It's always important, and even more so with a pandemic. And how they're trying to get some buy-in from members of local unions in the South. I'll tell you, the South is changing. There's no question. I am hearing, you know, Georgia turn blue. I'm hearing Texas might be the next one. I know there's a lot of organizing going down in Texas, going on in Texas. So that is definitely one state to watch. Everything is changing. We got to do a few things about the Midwest states. I don't know what's happening in that respect. So Kenny Mullins, who's going to be our second guest right here on America's Workforce. Well, Biden's recent shakeups at the NLRB have already begun to bear fruit. The NLRB's new acting general counsel, Peter Sung Orr, has directed the agency to dismiss a case that his Trump-appointed predecessor, Peter Robb, had initiated to curb unions' use of neutrality agreements with employers. Now, Mr. Robb had made clear that he wanted cases brought that the general counsel's office could use to change board law to limit what employers and unions can include in neutrality agreements. Now, according to Robb, such agreements, which typically set terms for aspects of labor organizing campaigns, cross the line from lawful pre-recognition neutrality agreements into the area of impermissible employer support. As a result, Robb would have sought to use the now dismissed Seattle case against Embassy Suites and a Unite Here affiliate to make unlawful terms that provide for union solicitation during work hours, union access to employer facilities, the provision of workers' contact information to unions, as well as certain statements indicating a preference for a certain union. Well, here's the deal. Orr's office was able to unilaterally withdraw the complaint. Why? Because the agency had never accused the parties of violating existing board law. Rather, the case was really a vehicle for Robb, acting under the general counsel's wide prosecutorial discretion, to reverse existing case law on neutrality agreements. So, this dismissal of the case illustrates the importance of Biden's decision to fire Robb. He also fired Robb's top deputy and install a new acting general counsel who is committed to, quote, ensuring workers' fundamental rights of association at the workplace, that they are protected to the fullest extent of the law. This is like lightning speed, quick, what happened here. I mean, this is a 180. I mean, this amazing. Joyce Goldstein sent me an email, and she's going to talk more about this when we have her on the February 12th edition. She was blown away by how quick this happened. But that's what happens. Elections matter. No doubt about that. By the way, Rich Trumka, head of the Labor Federation, says that the COVID-19 pandemic may be causing support for unions to reach new highs. Now, in a recent poll, Gallup estimated that as of 2020, last year, 65% of all Americans approve of labor unions. And 2 years before that, in 2018, MIT found that 48% of non-union workers would join a union if they could. That's where the PRO Act comes in. Trumka noted that the pandemic has amplified public support for unions even more, including in light of unions' demonstrated ability to secure PPE for essential workers. The union difference, always talk about that. Check this out. Union membership in Maine grew by 13,000 members last year, marking a 3 percentage point increase from 2019. This according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Union density rose to 15% last year, signifying a 20% increase in union density in the state in 1 year. In 1 year. The report also shows that nearly 17% of Maine workers in 2020 were represented by unions, an increase from 3 points over 2019. Got a comment here from Cynthia Finney. Cynthia comes from the electrical workers, and she's president of the Maine Labor Federation. She's following more and more workers in Maine are organizing and fighting for better wages, working conditions, safety on the job, and democracy in the workplace. The pandemic has reminded all of us that working people are, in fact, essential. Now, the Maine Labor Federation attributes the growth in union membership in the state to three factors. Increased internal organizing in already organized public sector and federal sector workforces. That's number one. New union organizing and increased hiring in essential unionized sectors of the Maine economy. That's primarily due to the pandemic. Increased overall density can be attributed to all those factors, plus significant layoffs in non-union sectors of the economy due to the pandemic. So that's one state to watch, no doubt about that. Want to talk about the National Council for Occupational Safety and Health. We have referenced them many, many times on the show. And tomorrow, this is at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they are coming out with an 8-point national agenda for worker safety and health. The national agenda is reportedly a bold transformational vision for the future of worker health and safety in the country. And here's the best part. It was developed by workers, health and safety leaders, unions, and worker organizations. It brings together ideas all based on real experience in the workplace to confront the pandemic and other longstanding workplace hazards, such as the recent tragedy we talked about on the show yesterday at the poultry plant in Georgia, which claimed 6 lives so far. A non-union plant. Had a really long story about that on the show yesterday, and that show's archived on awfradio.com. Really, really sad. The UFCW apparently tried to organize that plant. And one of the comments was it probably would not have happened if they had a union facility. Comment here from Jessica Martinez. She is the co-director of National COSH. Workers are sick, broken, dying. Because so far during this pandemic, employers, OSHA, and our federal government have failed to protect workers from the risk of infectious disease. We know workplace exposures play a major role in the virus transmission. We know that 6 poultry workers are dead and many others seriously injured from a preventable disaster in Georgia, all because safety measures were not followed. Our national agenda is based on listening to workers and health and safety experts who know about safety problems on their job and know how to fix them. Listen to the people in the field. That's what it's all about. So Jessica Martinez, the woman I just referenced, she's going to be at this. It's going to be pretty much a press conference. And they've also invited a day laborer from Houston, a construction worker from Workers Dignity out of Nashville, Tennessee, a hotel worker from the Western North Carolina Workers Center, and a representative from Congress, Andy Levin. We had Andy on the show some time ago. He is a vice chair of the House Education and Labor Committee, and he was also up for labor secretary. He was one of the people that Biden was considering, but of course that job went to Marty Walsh. Those hearings, by the way, for Marty Walsh are going to start on Thursday, 2 days from today. So we'll definitely follow this. Again, this is the National Council for Occupational Safety and Health, better known as National COSH, and they're all about linking the efforts of local worker health and safety coalitions in communities all across the country. You want to get some more information, go to nationalcosh.org. All right, we're going to break. Tim Berge of the Ohio AFL-CIO coming up next.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialist, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you were exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
Hey, we're back. Don't forget the show is also available on Facebook. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the fine folks at the United Labor Agency, always trying to connect people with employment. 216-666-2185. You can find them online at ulagency.org. Let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars. That would be Tim Berga, president of the Ohio Labor Federation. And we just continue here checking in with various state labor federations. Yesterday, Tim. Hey, Tim, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us here on America's Workforce.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, always a pleasure. And we been making a concerted effort to reach out to various states. Yesterday, we featured the Virginia AFL-CIO. And then last week we had, Kentucky, Bill Londrigan from the Kentucky State AFL-CIO. We had Pennsylvania on, and next week we're featuring Iowa. So we're getting a smattering of various labor federations. So it's all good. Labor is energized. I was just reading a story from Rich Trumka talking about support for labor unions reaching an all-time high. Maine saw a big uptick in union organizing. A lot of that has to do with the fact that you got a lot of essential workers, and the workers are not getting their protective equipment as they should, and they're trying to get a voice on the job, so they're joining unions. It's all good. And to take that one step further, a new guy in the White House. Boy, I tell you, I was just reading about the National Labor Relations Board and how they got rid of Peter Robb over there, and they got a new guy, and the union neutrality thing is a thing of a past on what his ruling. I mean, things are just happening so quickly here. But let's get into these executive orders. Talk to me about what a game changer these orders have been for organized labor. Go ahead.
Yeah, and thanks, Flash. What a difference competency makes, right? So we got behind Joe Biden for president for all the right reasons related to, you know, work and building the trade union movement up. I mean, this is a man who's practiced his entire political life and legislative life saying that, you know, the middle class built America and unions created the middle class. So he's come out of the gate firing with things that we have been talking to him about for a long time. Strengthening Buy American rules. He's put in place an emergency temporary standard for OSHA to get us through this pandemic. He's ramping up the Domestic Production Act for much-needed medical supplies and personal protective equipment, restoring federal union bargaining rights, a moratorium on evictions and student loans, and as you had indicated, removing the NLRB anti-union lawyer on day one. So a lot of good things happening. And then look at his appointments that the Senate is looking to confirm now for the different cabinet level and agency heads. And it's just pretty remarkable In fact, how many times President Biden has said the word union in the first couple weeks here? It's pretty remarkable, and first in my lifetime where I've seen a president talk about trade unions as the path to the middle class and how important that is in the way in which he's doing so. We couldn't be happier about the start that we're having.
Yeah. How do you feel about the way the talks are going on the stimulus? Yesterday, Biden had this conference with 10 members of the Republican Party. And I know he's trying to come up with some kind of a compromise, but right now it seems like they're kind of far apart. It's about a third of what he's trying to do. I know he wants to come up with a relief package that's just shy of $2 trillion. How do you see that panning out? What's your gut telling you on this one?
Well, I mean, yeah, he's trying to reach out, and, you know, they don't necessarily want to do this through budget reconciliation to avoid a filibuster. But, you know, until the Republicans demonstrate that they're interested in governing and not just interested in the next election, you know, the Democrats have the majority and people are suffering and people need help and they need it now. So they're going to move forward the best way they feel necessary. Certainly the best path is if the Republicans would come on board. So I know that was the attempt. I believe that they're going to move something quickly, and I think it's going to be meaningful. And as you'd indicated, this COVID pandemic has exposed so much inequity that there's an opportunity now to start correcting some of these problems. And the Biden administration, and we're hopeful that the House and the Senate will be able to move things that actually help workers. And let's hope we can do it in a bipartisan fashion. But the Democrats have indicated it's got to get done one way or the other.
And when that's done, the next step would be the PRO Act, which is the Protect the Right to Organize. And this is part of the Workers First agenda that the AFL-CIO came out with some weeks back. It passed in the House in the last session. So we've got support in the House. The question is, how many members in the Senate are going to move on this? How do you feel about the PRO Act with this, with a new president and a different makeup in the Congress moving forward?
Well, the president would like to see it happen. I mean, how many decades now we've been trying to get labor law reform, because there's just been an erosion of the National Labor Relations Act. So the PRO Act would get us back more towards the original intent of the NLRA, and it would do a number of things. It would authorize, when unions come together to form and join a union, so often it's nearly impossible to get that first contract because the employer will stall and things end up in the courts and they just run the clock out. This would authorize the NLRB to order an employer to begin bargaining the first contract right away. It would also prohibit employers from in these captive audience meetings that you're familiar with, Flash, to try to talk the workers out of joining the union. It was really highlighted in the documentary film about an Ohio company called American Factory. You know, if anybody thought that these captive audiences meetings don't happen, they need to see that documentary movie, because it does, and it's illegal. And then it would protect the workers' right to strike by preventing and hiring permanent placement workers. And the bill would also eliminate these right-to-work laws that have popped up throughout the state. So this has to happen. It's a major priority for the trade union movement, and we're in the process now. We've got co-sponsors signing on to the PRO Act. I think 200 members have signed on to it in the House of Representatives. And we're seeking all 16 members of the Ohio congressional delegation to sign on. So letters have left from my office as of yesterday, and then we're going to start a full court press to have them support the bill by either co-sponsoring it and then voting on it affirmatively when it comes out of committee.
Tim, the other issue is our infrastructure, and a big part of Biden's campaign was building back better. And you know, we need a lot of upgrades in our infrastructure, and it's not just roads and bridges, the electrical grid, the water systems, sewer systems. I mean, I could go on and on and on. I'm just wondering, can all this be tackled together? Is this a step-by-step process? How do you view this?
Well, yes, and let's throw broadband upgrades in there as well. Desperately needed sure. in Ohio. So, yeah, I mean, it has to happen. I mean, we just need Congress to stay in place, get the work done that's been neglected for 4 years now. You know, the last president said we're going to have a massive infrastructure bill. 4 years with Democrats wanting to do it, and he didn't get it done. So we've got to get this done. I'm confident we're going to get it done. It's a priority of, I know the Democrats in the House and Senate, it's a priority of the Biden administration. So I believe we're going to get it done. We just, you know, right now they're trying to get the cabinet level appointees confirmed. And they're working on all sorts of legislation, but infrastructure has to be there happening in the first half of this year.
And the Made in America executive order plays into all that, because if you're going to build the infrastructure, you don't want steel from China. You want American-made goods, preferably union-produced goods in America. Do you see, and this, Tim, you know, We've been doing this show a long time, well over 20 years. We've heard this before so many times, and there's all these exemptions. How do you see that moving forward?
Well, I see it moving forward in a positive way, again, because the White House is going to put political capital on this. And you're absolutely right. If we're going to build roads and bridges and highways and broadband, and if we're going to continue our energy exploration and fracking, these materials can and should be made right here in the United States. And you have to incentivize it, and you have to put mandates in best you can. And it takes everybody to understand how important that is. So we're confident on all these fronts that when the American people understand what this is, they're going to support it. And these aren't Democrat and Republican issues. These are American issues. These are worker issues. These are, you know, mainstream measures to help us get our feet back under us in terms of manufacturing, in terms of rebuilding our crumbling infrastructure, as you'd indicated, and just getting the country to move forward again and doing it in a way that, you know, respects the work. And as Sherrod Brown likes to say, the dignity of work, by making sure that it's a prevailing wage, making sure that unions, people have a right to form and join a union to bargain for a better way, and that there's health care and that there's retirement security. All these things that Ohioans care deeply about, we've got to get off all these other, you know, issues and nonsense and start focusing on what's really important. And I'm confident we're going to get that done.
Boy, retirement security, that's a big one, really big one, especially with Social Security, pensions. That's a whole nother show there. Tim, there's one more story I want to bring up, and I got this email from your staff, I believe it was maybe a week or two ago, and involved a GE lighting facility in Bucyrus, Ohio. Apparently, they've been there a long time, and I guess they're going to close and permanently lay off about 80 workers. What's the status, right? What happened there? Can you fill us in with some details?
Well, it's the all too familiar story where you got these big box stores and they demand their products a certain way from a certain place. And basically what it is, it's that slippery slope of, you know, we want a light bulb that, you know, cost a penny, right? Instead of 2 cents. And as a result, you know, we've made light bulbs in this country and in this state for a long, long time. And we lost one of our facilities up in the Youngstown area a while back because of this reason. And we're worried that Walmart is going to cost us the Bucyrus facility. But we're fighting back, and Ohioans are fighting back. And we're trying to keep, you know, Walmart to their promise and pledge, saying that they're going to buy American. Well, this is an opportunity for them to, you know, put their money where their mouth is, so to speak. So it's a GE Savant lighting facility in Bucyrus. And, you know, they make a great product there. And we're worried that they're going to, like I say, you know, start purchasing those bulbs for Walmart at a facility in China and lay off 80 workers. Okay. It's all too familiar story, and we're not going to sit back and let it happen. So we've been out there demonstrating, and we've got Walmart's attention. Let's hope they do the right thing here, and let's hope enough pressure gets applied, and let's hope that elected leaders jump in on this as well.
Oh, yeah. No, Sherrod Brown is going to jump on this one. He's going to be on the show in 2 days on Thursday. Yeah, we'll stay on it. And I see the local is affiliated with the Communication Workers of America. We'll try to track down Will Evans. Apparently, he's president of that local. And right. At one time, they represented over 200 workers at the plant. All right. You take care, my friends. Stay safe. Thanks for all that you do on behalf of the Ohio AFL-CIO. The website is OhioAFLCIO.org. And we'll talk to you next month, all right?
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right, quick break. Kenny Mullins is the business manager of Electrical Workers, Local 613 out of Georgia. And he's coming up next right on the show.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
Chris LaGrange here, host of UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange, news, talk, sports, and workforce politics, the fastest growing podcast on, in, and around the internet. Join us live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter with archives on UCOMLive.com. Our loud and colorful panelists bring you current events like no other. So follow and subscribe today wherever great podcasts are found.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And we're back. It's America's Workforce. Don't forget, you can check us out on various platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and most recently, Pandora. Let's go to line number two. And joining us from Georgia turning blue, is IBEW 613 business manager Kenny Mullins, here to talk about growing the market share for electrical workers outside of Atlanta. Hey, Kenny, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me this afternoon.
Local 613, let's start there. I want to talk about your background as well. How many members, your jurisdiction? Give me that part first.
We're pushing about 5,500 members with 58 counties, which four of them's in Alabama. We're encompassing 33,000 square miles of jurisdiction here in Atlanta, Georgia.
Wow. You're doing pretty well down there. I know you've been in the business for 25 years. I guess right out of high school, you decided to go into the apprenticeship program?
Okay. I joined in 1996, right out of high school. I got into the apprenticeship program and started my training here in the IBEW. And it's been a true blessing to me and my family. I wouldn't have it any other way. Kind of scary on the first job that you go to as a young man, all being new and going to these construction sites, but it's a great experience, and I wouldn't change it for anything.
So, Kenny, did you have any union involvement with your family members, and did they, like, encourage you to go union?
I did. My cousin was a owner for Precision Electric down here in Atlanta, Georgia, and is a signatory contractor to Local 613.
Uh-huh. Okay, good. And you worked your way up the ranks, and now you got the jurisdiction that you have. So talk to me about market share in that area. How is it increasing? And I hear there's a lot of organizing going on in the South. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, we have a lot of organizing going on. We've signed since 2017. Our administration down here at 613 has signed roughly 24 new contractors. Now, when you have a contractor that gets in a niche and does one style of electrical work, it's hard to grow market share. So our approach to that here at 613 is we're going out and we're gaining new contractors that's doing work in our jurisdiction that our current contractors are not doing. So okay. We're growing market share by getting new contractors to sign on and then bring their work with them. That's, to me, that's one of the fastest ways to grow the market share, because let's face it, you can't take a business model that's running smooth and being profitable and ask them to do something else. It's hard to persuade them to get outside their niche.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this something that 613 did upon themselves? Did you get any kind of guidance from National on this?
No, we jumped in with both feet, and it's one of the things that I wanted to start doing. We have we're over 100 contractors now. When we took over, we were around 80, I guess. And so now we're up over 100, and that was my way of seeing the easiest way to increase market share.
Yeah, yeah. Well, isn't the economy pretty vibrant down there, especially around the Atlanta area?
Yes, it is. Right now, we're flourishing. We work 10 million man hours in 2019. We had a drop last year due to the coronavirus, as everybody experienced, but we dropped about 1.7 million man hours last year due to that. But we're back on track. This year will be historical again. We should hit that 10 million, if not more. We got a lot of big projects going, a lot of work on the books. So it's beautiful down here in Georgia. We're blue now, so that's another thing. We're excited, and we got people that's working with us, that's our partners, and we look to take over the whole state.
I can tell you're pumped up. I love that. So, speaking of that, what was your role in the election, getting those two Democrats on board?
Well, it was a lot of hard work and a lot of phone calls. And, you know, if the state, as everybody realizes, was so close that we had to have that runoff. And there was a lot of people hanging up, you know, so you had to be able to just consistently, when you make those phone banking calls, when you're out talking to your people and, you know, doing the work, you just got to have a good attitude and, you know, don't worry about the hang-ups. Just realize that they're not as smart as they think they are. And mm-hmm. then you just push on and keep making the phone calls. Just a lot of hard work.
And, Kenny, what made it even more difficult, you had to do all of this in the middle of a pandemic. So you couldn't do the handshakes. You couldn't go out and do political rallies. There was a game changer, but you made it all happen. Good stuff. So what's the future look like that as far as construction and growing that market share?
It looks very good. I'd like to say that everybody down here in Georgia are wearing shades 24 hours. Because our future's so bright, Dave. It looks good. So this is the first step. We can retract these right-to-work laws now. That's the next thing that's on the chopping block. And just to be able to organize every single individual across the state of Georgia and in the South, it's going to be a great victory because we are the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
And the middle class gives a better living. I like to say for every Neiman Marcus, there's probably 10 to 12 Walmarts. So that tells you who drives the economy, and that's us, the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
So our future's bright. We're excited about what's going to happen down here over the next 4 years, 8 years, especially when the governor's race comes around and we get Miss Abrams in. It's going to be awesome. It couldn't get any better down here right now, other than retracting those right-to-work laws here in the state.
Kenny, let's talk about that, if you don't mind. We spoke with the Virginia State Labor Federation yesterday. The same thing is happening in Virginia. They've done amazing things with regard to worker safety. in the state of Virginia. And next on the agenda is getting rid of the right to work laws. They see that happening. They feel really good about it. You sound the same way. Nobody thought Georgia was going to turn blue. And I, in the same vein, it sounds like nobody thought that they could overturn the right to work law. Where do we stand with that right now? Is that on the agenda in the legislature?
Yep, from what we're being told, it is. It is on the agenda, and it's just something that, again, we're going to have to be patient and work towards and make sure that that stays in the crosshairs. And just keep talking to our partners that's on Capitol Hill to make sure we push that issue. I can't imagine just being able to go out and get cards signed and getting 50% and then not having to hold an election even after you already have the folks that have decided and made the commitment and signed the cards to be union and then have to have an election. See, when we retract the right to work laws, it's only going to be one step. As soon as they sign the cards and you get over 50%, they're now going to be represented by 613 and be part of our family. And
there
that's one of the things that I like. And, we grow in our family. That's why we try to do it. We take care of each other down here. And once people get over and make that switch, they realize that their life's truly changed and it's the best thing they ever done. And then even your management partners, once they get in the groove and they join and they partner up with us, they see that there's no extra cost. They see
there
that it can be done.
Mm-hmm. All right, Katie, I got to take a quick break. Can you stay with us? There's a couple more questions I want to get into. Is that possible for you? I know you're a busy guy.
Yes.
Kenny Mullins is his name. He's business manager of IBEW Local 613 out of Atlanta, Georgia. Website is IBEW613.org. The Twitter handle for the organization is at IBEW613Atlanta. More to come right here on America's Workforce.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers. Standing strong and fighting for what's right.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our Raising Wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after taking Zantac? If you have taken Zantac and have cancer, you may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And we're back. It's America's Workforce. Don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook. That's AWF Union Podcast. Let's go back to our live line. Rejoin Kenny Mullins, Kenny, business manager of IBEW Local 613 out of Atlanta, Georgia. About 5,500 members down there. Work is looking real good. Georgia turned in blue. He's all excited about the future. You also started something which I want to get into specific detail on. It's the CWCE program, construction wireman, construction electrician. And this is a interesting opportunity for people that are non-union that want to go union. Can you give me some details, Kenny, on how that's working for you?
It's working really good here in Atlanta. We have about 1,100 CWs and CEs combined, and it offers an avenue for more experienced electricians that's not starting straight out of high school. It gives the avenue for people who actually have some electrical experience. For example, if you have a non-union electrician that's been at an open shop for 25 years, he knows a pretty good bit about the industry, and he knows how to do electrical work. So we don't expect him to go through a full 5 years of training. So we slot them, we give them evaluation, a test, and then they're able to come in, and we put them at a it goes CW 1 through 4. That's with 0 to 4 years experience. 4 years or more experience, they go into the CE program, and it is based on how they score on their test that we give them.
So how many members have you been able to work that way in 613?
It's a lot. It's been a good organizing, too. I don't have that exact number, but I would probably say 40% of our membership.
Wow, that's good.
Came through that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good program.
Good,
but like
good,
everything,
good.
You have to have parameters and make sure you have your guidelines and your rules in play. It's a great program.
Kenny, I'll bet you some of those members, you know, once they join Local 613 and they realize what kind of pay and benefits, they probably said, man, I should have done this a long time ago. What was I missing?
Yeah.
What, did they have those conversations with you?
Oh, for sure. Well, there's been so many testimonies from these people that have joined that they just want to slap themselves for taking too long to make the jump. There's a lot of good stories that's increased their family, because see, we also offer family coverage for our health care, our family health plan. See, they're used to having to pay for their dependents. In the open shop world, they only get single coverage. Well, our plan straight out the gate offers you family coverage. So that's one of the things. And then a pension that is paid into not a 401k, it's a defined contribution. So your money's there. That's paid into part of your fringes that the contractors are, you know, in a collective bargain agreement and pay in per hour's work. So they love it. It increases their lifestyle, and they're all of them's happy.
Well, in addition to wages and benefits, I want to go back to the pandemic here. We're still in the middle of the pandemic here, and they've got to know the difference when it comes to job safety. And we have seen this. Kenny, you've seen, I mean, Georgia's right to work. You're trying to change that. We often say it's right to work for less, and there's more accidents on the job. And that's a big component. And I think that would be a very sellable item for you when it comes to organizing, getting the equipment that's needed to stay safe on the job, right?
That is correct. That's one of the tools we use to let them know that our on-the-job accidents or lost time accidents are almost zero. It's few and far between, opposed to where they come from. Our industry, as you know, dealing with IBEW, we're built on the values of brotherhood and sisterhood and family. So that filters over on to the job. You know, when you're working hand in hand by somebody, they're going to remind you if you don't have your PPP on. You know, put your safety glasses on, bro. You know, where's your, you know, you don't wear short sleeves. You need to be 100% cotton, you know, things of that nature. We don't let each other slip. So that's the good part about this, you know. In the open shop world, it's everybody for themselves. and it's more individualized. But, you know, IBEW's not that way. And that's the message we sell to them as well. And, you know, getting them to not only take the wages and benefits, but getting them to buy in to the brotherhood and the sisterhood is easy after they've been on the job a month. They get it. They see it firsthand.
Yeah. Kenny, another question here. How are you doing it when it comes to organizing and getting women involved in the trades, people of color? I know overall there's been a concerted effort, and a lot of folks, especially, they realize, hey, wait a minute, you know, these minimum wage jobs ain't gonna support my family. I got to get involved in the trades. How's that faring in the Atlanta area?
It's working really good for us. We are very diverse here in 613. We probably have over the last count I looked at is we had over 300 women in our local.
That's great.
So they're, you know, we want everybody to be part of this family. And, you know, the wages, and that's another reason why the CWCE avenues there is because, you know, apprentice wages is, you know, you have to understand that it starts out low. I mean, it's a lower wage to start with. Your CE rates are a little higher. So if you've got some experience, like we were talking about, you can get into that program if you pass and do good on your test. But we start out fairly low. I think we're $12 an hour, $11.75 for a first-year apprentice.
Are you reaching out to a lot of the schools in that area? You indicated you came right out of high school into the trades. And Kenny, you know this is happening all around the country. You got to go to college. Got to go to college. No, some people, they're not cut out for college. How are you faring with that?
We're doing very good with that. The Earn While You Learn program with no debt is a big seller. One of the things that we're going to have to start working on is athletics. I know a lot of the kids, you know, that we're talking to, that's one of the first questions they ask when they don't know anything about the IBEW or the construction trades. Do y'all have a baseball team? Do y'all have a basketball team? No, we want you to make money and be healthy, but they still come on. We're doing really good on the high school recruiting. We've been to, before the pandemic hit and we're ramping back up, we've been to over 300 high schools. So our organizing team, I put two new field organizers on in 2018, and that was what they were doing. They were going to job fairs. We're getting a lot of young 54% of our membership is under the age of 30. 54% of our membership is under the age of 30.
I heard that. You could say it one more time, my brother.
Well, I just wanted to make sure and point that out. So that kind of gives you a notion of how we're doing on these organizing these high school kids. So. And that's good. The future's bright. Like I said earlier, we're all wearing shades down here because our future's so bright. And 613,
I love it. Just,
we're pumped, man. So we're excited about what we got ahead of us. And, you know, we celebrated a 100-year charter. We've been around 100 years in 2019, and BMA did a hell of a job. I mean, our members love that event. So there's a lot of culture and history here with 613 in Atlanta, and our members are excited about what's coming in the future.
I like that. Future's so bright, I got to wear shades. I love that song. You take care, my brother. We're going to have to run along here. Let's keep in touch on this. I love to hear the good stories, and obviously there's a lot of good things happening at 613 in Atlanta, Georgia, on behalf of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. So you take care, stay safe, and I promise we'll keep in touch. How's that sound?
That's awesome. Thank you for the call this afternoon.
You got it. Kenny Mullins, IBEW613.org. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, latest from the United Labor Agency and more. Until then, have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.